Welcome to day 238 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California, and I'm glad that you've joined me today. Yesterday we began the book of Lamentations, and today we will complete it. Our reading today comes from chapters 3, 4, and 5 of the book of Lamentations. As we mentioned yesterday, this book was written by the prophet Jeremiah and is essentially a book of poetry, 5 chapters, 5 poems that address the issues of the sorrow of the prophet and of the Lord over the desolation of Jerusalem and Judah, and also make references to the fact that as sorrowful as these events were, that the cause really can be traced back to the sin and disobedience of the nation of Israel against the Lord. And yet today in chapter 3, we'll find a note of hope. And probably if there is a famous verse in the book of Lamentations, it would be found in the 3rd chapter, actually 2 verses, 22 and 23. And it is the verses that the famous hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, came from. And these 2 verses give us hope regardless of the sorrowful nature of any situation a person may be in. And we'll talk about that today in our time of devotional. So beginning at chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations, reading from the Amplified Translation, we will begin at the first verse. I am Jeremiah, the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness and not light. Surely he has turned away from me. His hand is against me all the day. My flesh and my skin has he worn out and made old. He has shattered my bones. He has built up siege mounds against me and surrounded me with bitterness, tribulation, and anguish. He has caused me to dwell in dark places like those long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot get out. He has weighed down my chain. Even when I cry and shout for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, and like a lion hiding in secret places. He has turned me off my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my heart, the seat of my affections and desires. I have become a derision to all my people and the subject of their sing-song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink to excess and until drunken with wormwood bitterness. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. And you have bereaved my soul and cast it off far from peace. I have forgotten what good and happiness are. And I say, perished is my strength and my expectation from the Lord. O Lord, remember earnestly my affliction and my misery, my wandering and my outcast state, the wormwood and the gall. My soul has them continually in remembrance and is bowed down within me. But this I recall, and therefore I have hope and expectation. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says my living being, my inner self. Therefore will I hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. It is good that one should hope in and wait quietly for the salvation, the safety, and ease of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. Let him sit alone, uncomplaining and keeping silent in hope, because God has laid the yoke upon him for his benefit. Let him put his mouth in the dust in abject recognition of his unworthiness. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who smites him, even through his human agents. Let him be filled full of men's reproach in meekness, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, yet will he be moved to compassion according to the multitude of his loving kindness and tender mercy. For he does not willingly and from his heart afflict or grieve the children of men, to trample and crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside and deprive a man of his rights before the face of the Most High, or a superior acting as God's representative, to subvert a man in his cause. Of these things the Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? If the Lord has not authorized and commanded it, is it not out of the mouth of the Most High that evil and good both proceed, adversity and prosperity, physical evil or misfortune, and physical good or happiness? Why does a living man sigh, one who is still in this life's school of discipline? And why does a man complain for the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands, and then with them mount up in prayer to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with wrath and pursued and afflicted us. You have slain without pity. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us off scouring and refuse among the nations. All our enemies have gaped at us and railed against us. Fear and pitfall have come upon us, devastation and destruction. My eyes overflow with streams of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes overflow continually and will not cease until the Lord looks down and sees from heaven. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the maidens and the daughter towns of my city, Jerusalem. I have been hunted down like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They thought they had destroyed my life in the dungeon pit and cast a stone over it above me. The waters ran down on my head. I said, "I am gone." I called upon your name, O Lord, out of the depths of the mire of the dungeon. You heard my voice then. Oh, hide not your ear now at my prayer for relief. You drew near on the day I called to you. You said, "Fear not." O Lord, you have pleaded the causes of my soul. You have managed my affairs, and you have protected my person and my rights. You have rescued and redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen my wrong done to me. Judge and maintain my cause. You have seen all their vengeance, all their devices against me. You have heard their reproach and revilings, O Lord, and all their devices against me. The lips and thoughts of my assailants are against me all day long. Look at their sitting down and their rising up, their movements, doings, and secret counsels. I am their sing-song, the subject of their derision and merriment. Render to them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them hardness and blindness of heart. Your curse will be upon them. You will pursue and afflict them in anger and destroy them from under your heavens, O Lord. Chapter 4. How the gold has become dim, how the most pure gold has changed. The hallowed stones of the temple are poured out at the head of every street. The noble and precious sons of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, how they are esteemed merely as earthen pots or pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals draw out the breast, they give suck to their young ones, but the daughter of my people has become cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness that desert their young. The tongue of the nursing babe cleaves to the roof of its mouth because of thirst. The young children beg for food, but no one gives it to them. Those who feasted on dainties are perishing in the streets. Those who were brought up in purple lie cleaving to refuse and ash heaps. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment, and no hands had come against her or been laid on her. In physical appearance, her princes were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies or corals. Their shapely figures suggested a carefully cut sapphire. Prolonged famine has made them look blacker than soot and darkness. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It is withered, and it has become dry like a stick. Those who are slain with the sword are more fortunate than those who are the victims of hunger, slain by the famine. For they, the hungry, pine and ebb away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. The hands of heretofore compassionate women have boiled their own children. They were their food during the destruction of the daughter of my people, Judah. The Lord has fulfilled his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger and has kindled a fire in Zion that has consumed her foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the earth, that the oppressor and enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. But this happened because of the sins of her false prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed the blood of the just and righteous in the midst of her. The false prophets and priests wandered, staggering in the streets as if blind. They had so polluted themselves with blood, it was not lawful for men to touch their garments. People cried to them, "Go away, unclean, depart, depart, touch not." When they fled away, then they wandered as fugitives. Men said among the nations, "They shall not stay here any longer." The anger of the Lord has scattered and divided them among the nations. He will no longer look after them. They did not respect the persons of the priests. They did not favor the elders. As for us, our eyes yet failed and wasted away in looking for our worthless help. In our watching, on our watchtower, we have watched and waited expectantly for a nation, Egypt or some other one, to come to our rescue that could not save us. The missiles of the enemy dog our steps so that we cannot go into our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. Yes, our end has come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the sky. They pursued us on the mountains. They lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, our King, was taken in their snares. He of whom we said, "Under his shadow we shall live among the nations." Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. But the cup of the wine of God's wrath also shall pass to you. You shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity will be accomplished and completed, O daughter of Zion. The Lord will no more carry you away or keep you in exile, but he will inspect and punish your iniquity and guilt, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. Chapter 5. O Lord, earnestly remember what has come upon us. look down and see our reproach, our national disgrace, our inheritance as fallen over to strangers, our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We have had to pay money to drink the water that belongs to us. Our own wood is sold to us. Our pursuers are upon our necks like a yoke. We are weary and are allowed no rest. We have given the hand as a pledge of fidelity and submission to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians, merely to get food to satisfy our hunger. Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants and slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us out of their hands. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness, wild Arabs who may attack if we venture into the fields to reap our harvests. Our skin glows and is parched as from the heat of an oven because of the burning heat of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. They hung princes by their hands. The persons of elders were not respected. Young men carried millstones, and boys fell staggering under burdens of wood. The elders have ceased from congregating at the city's gate, the young men from their music. Ceased is the joy of our hearts. Our dancing has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Our honor is brought to the dust. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint and sick. Because of these things, our eyes are dim and see darkly. As for Mount Zion, which lies desolate, the jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, remain and reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so long? Turn us to yourself, O Lord, and we shall be turned and restored. Renew our days as of old. Or have you utterly rejected us? Or are you exceedingly angry with us still? This is the end of the book of Lamentations and the end of today's scripture reading. As we listen to the prophets lamenting of the circumstances in which all of Jerusalem found themselves at the time of the book of Lamentations, the siege, the enemy army coming against them, food becoming non-existent in the city to the point where they were starving to death, and the sorrowful wails of children crying for food that their parents could not give to them, and other horrible ramifications of starvation, we find that the prophet says something to the Lord that probably many persons in the earth have said over the centuries. And it's found in chapter 3, verse 44, where Jeremiah says to the Lord, "You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through." Talk about feeling like his prayers weren't getting answered. That's exactly what Jeremiah the prophet was saying or expressing to the Lord, that God had made himself so impenetrable to the prayers coming up to him. And at that point in history, there was not going to be an answer that they wanted to hear, because God was allowing the people to go into captivity to the Babylonians because they had completely rejected God and his ways and his commandments. So there wasn't going to be an answer. But in the midst of such sorrowful statements as that, here in the book of Lamentations, we find probably the crowning part of this very book in the midst of chapter 3. And I mentioned to you probably the most famous verses are indeed verses 22 and 23 in the third chapter of Lamentations. It says in the Amplified translation, It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because His tender mercy, His tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. Let me read it to you from the New International Version. It may sound a little more familiar to you. It says in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And as I mentioned in our introduction today, it was upon these verses that the famous hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was based. So in the midst of this tremendous sorrow and sadness that the prophet is expressing, he comes to this precious and beautiful conclusion that it is because of the grace of God, the compassion of God, the loving kindness of God, because of that, they were not totally consumed. Not only that, he goes on to add that these compassions of God, these loving kindnesses of the Lord, are new every morning. And this is something to encourage you. Regardless of failures that you've experienced in your life, maybe you're trying to live the Christian life and you feel like the day comes to an end and you can point to a number of failures on your part. It's important to know that the truth of God's word is that God's compassion and His mercies for you are new every single morning. When the day comes again, it's a new day. God has had mercy on your failures, on your shortcomings, on your sin, on your falling short. God says, it's a new day. I forgive you. Begin again. There's new compassion you can receive from God. There's new grace, power to do things God's way that's available. It's new every morning. And the prophet concludes with some of the most beautiful and true words about the character of God, something that I treasure so much. And it's these four simple words: great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness to us, even when we are unfaithful, is indescribable. It is so big, it is so encompassing, it is so beyond what we could ever do or what we could ever repay to the Lord. It's so amazing, the faithfulness of God. He's faithful when we're not faithful. He is faithful to us, good to us, gracious to us, merciful to us when we have failed and when we haven't been faithful to the Lord. How beautiful are these words in the midst of all the sorrow that the Book of Lamentations expresses. And it's a word of encouragement to all of us that no matter how your day has gone, no matter how you have felt like you have so failed the Lord, God says to you, it's because of His great love that we're not consumed as a result of our sin, because His compassion, His mercy toward us never fails. In fact, it's new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God. So God wants to speak that to you. Don't look at your failing. Look at His faithfulness. It's so priceless. It's what you need. It's what you need to hold on to. Don't be among those people who have a tendency to just berate themselves and beat themselves for their failings. God isn't beating you. He extended His hand of love, mercy, compassion for your failings through Jesus Christ. It's God's hand reaching out to you to pull you out of that pit of failure and lack and inability to do things the right way, God's way. He extended the hand of His grace through Jesus Christ to pull you out, to set you on solid ground. And when you fall down, He's there to pick you up, because His mercies are new every morning. His loving kindness towards you is new every morning. His compassion towards you is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And I just want to end by sharing that hymn with you. And I'm going to speak the words, and I just ask you to listen as you hear them, because this hymn is so very profound. God doesn't change. It says there's no shadow of turning with God, meaning he doesn't change. He's the same. He's the same. He never fails. So listen to this as we close, and I pray it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you today. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.